I want to talk to you this morning about what the Lord put on my heart for this year. I think our title is up there. Our title is up there. Put the Bible in the mix in 21:6. I want to talk about the aspect of, I think the Word of God is going to be really important for us this year. There's so many voices out there, especially as we see all of the people running from president, from the Democratic or from the Republican side. There's just many voices, all sorts of stuff, and people are going to solve this and going to solve that. And if you vote for me, everything's going to be great and wonderful. And we all know that that's not true. I don't care who you vote for or what president you vote for or what party you're a part of. It doesn't matter. We're going to be talking about electing a man who has, or a woman who has flaws, and is not going to do a 100% bang-up job, and is not going to make everybody happy. That is for sure. But we need a voice that's in our ear that's going to guide us and direct us through all of the turmoil that I believe we're going through as a nation. Technology is booming, but so is terrorism. There's things that are fearful, there's things that are exciting to look for, and we have all the natural disasters in between. Is God trying to bring this down to a ta-da, to the final performance? I have no idea, but I do know this. If we get into the Word of God and we follow the Word of God, we're going to be right on time, right at the exact time we need to be on time, flowing exactly with what God wants us to do right then. We must be in the Word, and we must be in that Word daily. We must let this determine our politics. We must let this determine our direction. We must let this be our compass. This must guide us, not what some man says or a person over here. This, the Word of God, needs to be the thing that guides us, that directs us, that leads us, and inspires us in all that we do. We must have the Word of God as the number one source of input in our life as we live our life. That's why I'm saying we must be in it. I'm so thankful for all of you that read through the Word. I'm so encouraged. I'd like to see everybody leave their seats next year at this time when everybody is taking a picture, because we all got involved. It's reading one chapter a day. One chapter a day that can change your life. It's important in these turbulent times that we're in. We need to put the Bible in the mix in 21:6. Let the Word be your roadmap, your direction, your purpose, your inspiration. Carrie said we could call it, get your Bible fixed in 21:6, or put the Bible on the screen in 2016. We need the Bible. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God. Our mission statement says this: to make devoted followers of Jesus. The reason we exist, to make devoted followers of Jesus. In community, meaning together. That's why we have all the small groups. We want to be in community. This is one group, but it's not a small group. We need to get into smaller groups and connect together so that life, we're doing life together, rubbing shoulders with one another, enjoying it together, going through high times, low times, praying for one another in a more intimate way. We must be in a small group. I encourage you to get into one. But to make devoted followers of Jesus in community, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to know what the Spirit is speaking. We need to know the words of the Spirit, both the ones written here and the ones that he's speaking as he freshens up and makes this a revelation to me as I'm reading a point, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit inspires me and takes me deeper into what that means for my life today personally. So I'm reading the Word and I'm going, oh, here's our reading for today. And all of a sudden God goes, ta-da. And we hear the angel choir go, ah! And we get a revelation. That's exactly what I'm going through today. Oh my gosh. And God's going, ding, 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 ding. You're getting it. I want to give you some direction today. I got some thoughts for you. And we need to be in the Word, or you're going to miss the ding, 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 and the ah! If you're just reading the Word once a month or every other month, you're going to hear a mom. The angels go, mom. We need to be in it every day. I don't know if they do that. I'm just making that up. Somebody's going to come, Pastor Phil, where is that in the scriptures where the angels go, bom? Here's my observation, though. To be a follower of Jesus, you must follow Jesus. That came to me one night after a big pan of pizza. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you must follow Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, you better know where he's going. You better know what he said. If you want to do what Jesus did, you better know what he said. There's that big, what would Jesus do thing that came out? What would Jesus do? I'm saying, well, and people were going, well, what would Jesus do? Well, he'd be loving, he'd be caring, and oh, he would just, and we were making stuff up about what Jesus would do because we thought he was just a nice guy, and so whatever was nice, that was what Jesus would do. But I don't think it's what would Jesus do. It's what, before you can do what Jesus would do, we better know what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? WDJS. I want to make those bracelets. What's the WDJS stand for? What did Jesus say? What did he say? Are we finding out what he says each and every day? Are we doing what Jesus said? Because to follow him, we've got to do what he said. We've got to do what he said. And we need to be in the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for all of us. You realize that the word Bible is not used one time in the Bible. Except on their cover. Of course, mine is covered with duct tape. And maybe on the cover page it says the Holy Bible. Nowhere else in here does it say the word Bible. So where did the word Bible come from? Well, the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which is translated book. The original manuscripts of the Bible were kept in the synagogues. Those who had custody of the manuscripts first used the Greek word to describe the collection, which later became known as the book. The book. The Bible is not just a book, but it truly is the book. The book for your life, for all of mankind. Some call it the good book. Well, the good book says, I've noticed most people that talk about the good book and what it said don't know what the good book said. The good book says, and they give you some sort of age-old adage or something. It's not just literature. A lot of kids take the Bible as lit class. Oh, that'll be a great class, like the Bible is lit class. It has nothing to do with the inspired word of God. These are inspired words. These are words that the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to say this. This word that spoke life into being, I'm going to say a word, and then I'm going to record that word, and I'm going to throw it on this page. And then it's on the page, and if you're just as Bible is lit class, you're going to go, oh, and then Noah built an ark, and blah, 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 blah. How could he build an ark? That's too big. Oh, that's a fun story. That's a nice story. Oh, look how it's composed. Look at the apostrophes and the parentheticals. And oh, gee, this literature is so wonderful. It's so great. That's not what it is. It's not just a literature book. This book that was written by the Holy Spirit that burned the pages with his word in here. And all of a sudden, we're reading through it. And if it's just Bible is lit, we're just reading words on a page, words on a page, words on a page. But if it's the inspired word of God, then all of a sudden you're reading something, you're going, whoa! And all of a sudden that word that was placed there by the Holy Spirit comes out of the page, hits you in your mind, goes down to your heart, and starts changing your life and the way you walk because it's the inspired word of God that changes our life. That's how I got radically saved. Not going, well, the Bible is literature. Oh, this is nice. These are nice stories. Oh, I remember these bedtime stories when I went to bed. Now these, all of a sudden, I got radically saved, and all of a sudden, I'm reading the Bible, and and stuff was just flying off at me and burning a mark, a brand into my soul, into my very heart that began to change my life. Because this isn't literature. It isn't just literature. It's great literature. But it's the word of the living God who spoke the world into existence by a word. And it can change the life of man by the same word if we allow the Holy Spirit to inspire it and lift it off the page for us that day and allow it to be something that guides us through those 24 hours as we're desiring to follow and be more and more like Jesus each and every day. It's not just literature. It is the revealed thoughts, actions, and the will of God. Let me say it again. The Bible. It's the revealed thoughts, actions, and the will of God on these pages. And they're revealed only to those who read them and allow the Holy Spirit to meddle with them. You can read them, get it done. But you can read it and say, okay, Holy Spirit, say something to me. And all of a sudden, he starts saying something to you. He's not doing it because he hates you. He's not doing it because he dislikes you. He's not doing it because you're just a big mess. He's doing it because he loves you and he's got a great plan for your life. And he says, you know, try this. This may just bring peace to your life. Try this. This may just cause you to rest easier at night. I'm telling you, this word wasn't meant to be read once and placed on a shelf. It's to be placed in the very center of your heart and lived out each and every day as we read it and allow the Holy Spirit to brand a new item, a new concept, a new thought, a new adventure, a new journey. I was talking with a brand new guy, Jonathan. I don't know if Jonathan's here or not. Jonathan, are you here today? Jonathan, and he was talking about how he's just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. Just bam, just supernaturally got filled with the Holy Spirit. Didn't even know what the heck was going on. And then all of a sudden, God starts speaking to him about stuff. And he's telling him, do this and do that and do this. And he's going, hey, it's just everything. He's just talking up there. Everything's going on. I'm going, that's called the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit is alive. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to encourage you. He's got a great plan for your life. But we can't get there unless we follow the plan that he has for us. And we learn about it and grow in it each and every day as we're in the word. I've read this word 30 times, years and years and years. And I read it again. I go, where did that come from? Because today I need that. I never saw it like that before. And it's brand in my heart and it's changing the way my steps are going today. The Bible is composed of 66 books. With two major divisions, Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, 39 books. New Testament, 27 books. The Old Testament has four divisions. The law, the history, poetry, and prophecy. The New Testament also has four divisions. Speaking of the gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, the epistles, and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation. I'm saying the Bible is full of stuff. And we need to begin to come to understand how it was put together, how it was written, and begin to understand. That's why we have Bible Foundations 1, Bible Foundations 2, Bible Foundations 3, Bible Foundations 4. We have that so you know the Word of God, how it was put together. What is the climate like? What does the topography look like? What's going on during this time? What was the political thing? What was the climate? All of the different things are, we want you to learn them, grow in them, and understand them. Why? So you can walk just like Jesus walked. Inspired by this word that changes and has changed lives for thousands of years. Radically changed people's lives, packed full of his thoughts, actions, and his will for me today. His will for me today is uncovered for me as I begin to discover what was written in this book. What other names do we call the Bible? It's called the Word. You know, realize the Word is used 1,303 times in the Bible. The Word, the Word, the Word. It's called the Word of the Lord 280 times. It says the Word of the Lord, the Word of God. It's called the Word of God 54 times. It's called Scripture 53 times. But why are God's words important? Why are his words so important, what he wrote here? Let me give you three thoughts. Number one, because they're creative. His words are not like your words. You say something. Hey, I want there to be a house right here. On a house. This land, I bought this land. House. On this land. Once you declare house, then you got a lot of work to do, right? I bought the land. I'm building the house. I'm building the house. I'm building the house. I'm building the house. You're working on the house. Year goes by. You're still working on the house. You're working on the house and you're working on the house. 20 years go by. You're still working on something on the house. If you don't have that, you have a honey-do list to work on other things. God goes, oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's a great piece of property. House. Boom! He goes, hey, I got nothing. Got nothing. Got nothing. Got nothing. Light. Boom! I got nothing. Just light. I got nothing. Got some light. Earth. Boom! I'm saying, when he speaks, it happens. When you speak, you got to make it happen. He speaks and it is. It's done. He speaks a creative word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. Wow. Pretty cool. And I love this. Then God said, let there be light. I love what it says right after it. And there was light. You see, when God speaks from nothing, it becomes wasing. There was nothing, and now it's wasing. Light's wasing around. It wasn't there, now it's wasing. Whoa, where did you come from? Well, I wasn't nothing, now I'm wasing. I'm here wuzzing for a while. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let them divide the waters from the waters. And then God made the firmament divide the waters from under the firmament and the waters which were above. And he called one heaven and it was. It says right there. Then God said, and so it was. The next one, he called the dry land earth and called the wet stuff the seas. He said, let the waters of the heavens, and it was so. Go on again. And he said, hey, I want some grass over here and some seed over there and some trees over there. God said it, and it was so. I want there to be lights. I want the sun, the moon, and the stars. God said it, and it was so. Then God said, hey, why don't we make a man? Blah, 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 blah. And here's one where he didn't just speak. He took some dust. Got a little more involved in this one. He grabbed some dust and put it together and created man, created you. He didn't just speak you into being, he formed you. And then he breathed into you. You see, life only exists in God. His breath is the breath we're all breathing. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living. God's word is creative. God's word is creative. He makes his best stuff from nothing. I love when people come to me and go, oh, mine, I've ruined my life. It's all the junk. It's all the mess. It's just like nothing. Oh, you're a prime candidate for God to do some of the greatest work he's ever done. The problem is when you get in the way, when you try to present stuff. No, he just needs nothing. He needs you to come and go, I'm so broken. I'm just a rotten mess. God, I've ruined my life. And you can just have it all. And you just throw it all down. I'm nothing, God. I'm nothing. He's going, oh, wow. I do my best stuff with nothing. He wants you to get to nothing. Because when you get to nothing, you become something. Because our something comes from the God who makes stuff of nothing. He's amazing. Joe, I'm probably going to botch this up. Joe was telling me this story about a microbiologist challenges God to a creation contest. Who can create the best thing? So the microbiologist takes a big scoop of dirt and starts to form something. God goes, whoa, 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 whoa. You got to do it without the dirt. I did. We're creating everything from something. Even all that we do, we're creating it for something. God created it from nothing. He created us from nothing. God is amazing. His word is creative. We say words and they're cheap. God says words and there's change. My observation is this: our words are cheap. God's words are priceless. So are you reading them? They're priceless. I can't put a dollar figure on what this has done in my life. I can't put a dollar figure on how it's changed me and molded me. Developed me and still showing me all the flaws that I still have, but tenderly, caringly, encouraging me to change. I can't change if I can't keep seeing where I need to change. I'm not done. None of us are. Why is words so important? Because they're powerful. They're powerful. And by the way, those creative words, if you need a creative word on your job, you need a creative word in a situation, ask the God of all creativity to give you some creative thoughts and ideas and ingenuity, and watch what he might do as he begins to speak to you. Secondly, they're powerful. Isaiah 55:1, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. He speaks something, doesn't come back going, oh, didn't happen. Huh, gee, darn, it never comes back void. But Lord, we spoke it. I don't see it. Oh, it's not void yet. I'm doing stuff. But Lord, we pray for that and I'm doing things. We're not done yet. His word does not come back void. It does not come back worthless. I think that word void means emptily, ineffectively, undeservedly, empty or worthless. It doesn't come back that way. His words that he's speaking, when he's spoken something to your heart, it doesn't return void with no purpose and worthless. And he's doing stuff. He's moving stuff. He's changing stuff. He's developing things. He's using that word to bring something amazing to come to pass. We just have to trust him in the process. Trust him in the process. Thirdly, those words are eternal. They're not a passing whim. They're not, well, he said that. Well, it's been a while. Abraham said, it's been a while. It's been 10, 15, 20. It's been a lot of years. Maybe I didn't mean it. Oh, no. He means it. They're not a passing whim. They're not a word spoken going, hey, that's a cool word. It just goes out there and just got in outer space and it's lost. No. He remembers. He knows his word. He remembers. When he speaks something to your heart, he knows. He remembers. They're eternal. They're not a passing whim. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. He's saying it would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for Christ's words to fail. His word outlives everything. His word goes on and on and on. And his performance of that word will happen. His words are amazing. It's not, yeah, I know I said heaven would be forever, but I've decided to change my mind. I'm making a few changes and I'm your vapor. No, no, he already promised me. That promise will last forever. When God speaks, what God speaks, it will happen. What God speaks will happen. Let me bring it down to these three last thoughts that maybe aren't so short. Why do we need to be in the Word of God every day? I want to give you 4 points. Number one, why be in the Word every day? It makes us wise about salvation. It makes us wise. It says here in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You've known this Word, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. We read this till we can understand and become wise about what it means to be saved and what it means to walk like a saved person. And then what it means to help somebody else come to that knowledge of knowing what it means to be saved and why they need to be saved. It's all about salvation, that word salvation. Soteria. That's where we get the word soteriology, which is the study of salvation. Soteria. It means rescue, safety, deliver, protect. Is that what makes you safe? When Jesus saves us, he goes, oh, life is all a mess, and we come to Christ, and all of a sudden, you know, life is just a mess, and it's just gone, but he just kind of, you just hear that purring sound. You get next to him. Not sleeping. That sounds like a sleeping God. That's kind of a purring God, but let's go on. I used to be able to do a kitty cat. Now I can't. I do a good dog. Roof! We need to know about salvation. Why we need to be saved. Why others need to be saved. And then, how do they get saved? How can I help you to get... We need to be wise about that. And you need to be in it daily so that that's alive in you every day, because there's people around you every day that need to be saved. What's a thought you could share? Some little thing. Pray for them. Something. Number two, why do we need the Bible every day? It contains our instructions for daily living. It contains our instructions for daily living, not yearly living. Well, this year I'm going to exist and do things. It's my plan this year. So what do you do that year? You don't read the word. You just exist and do things. Daily instruction? Lord, man, guide me. I'm going through some trials. I got some tests coming up in school. I got some projects at work. Lord, I'm really nervous. I'm really anxious. And that's a great, peace. It's our instructions for the day. Maybe there's an area where you need to change, and he's speaking that to you. It contains our instructions for daily living, not monthly living or yearly living or weekly living. Daily. God guides us, directs us, instructs us, and leads us with the word. And if we're not constantly looking at the map, we're going to get lost. It's our blueprint, map, compass, our GPS. If I were to tell you, navigate across Pullman, you could figure it out. If I told you, navigate to Chile, you'd be going, I don't know how to get there. And Pat, where does your daughter live in Chile? Puerto Varas? Something like that? Navigate to where? Puerto Varas, Chile. Going to come up with direction. Okay, I got a direction. Okay, we're supposed to go out there and then take a right. Okay. Out and take a right, then we go for a little while, and then we take a left, go across the bridge, take a right. Okay, I'm just going to put it on, and then it's going to tell me when I get there. I'm going to drive, and then he goes, in 100 feet, turn right. Oh, okay, I'm going to turn right. If you didn't have that on right then, you didn't have it on, and you're going to Chile, in 100 feet, turn right, you're going, don't have it on, there's the right turn, and you're going this way. You're going, wow, it's getting colder. It's getting colder. Wow, it's getting colder. Well, there's a lot of icebergs up here in Chile. That's why they call it Chile. You missed a turn. Why do you need to be in the Word every day? Because every day it's going to tell you how to turn. How to get to where God wants you to go. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a destiny for you. You're not just a blob of flesh that happened to got deposited on this planet. God lives inside of you, and he's got a destiny, a plan, a purpose for you. And he's saying, hey, get in there. And 20 feet, turn right. And 30 feet, turn left, and talk to the man there and ask for directions. No. It better be a woman, because I don't know the guys are going to give it. That was good for women. The women were booing me on that, and I was saying, because women listen to directions better than men. Never mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? Why do we have to be in every day? You may miss a turn. It may start getting cold, or maybe too hot. You need to navigate. Don't put it in your pocket and say, well, I know how to get there. Well, I need to know each and every day what turn to make. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means divinely breathed in. Divinely breathed in, the word. It means to breathe hard, to breeze, to blow. It's that same word about the pneuma, the Spirit of God. He's going to guide you by his Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Are you listening for the voice? Are you listening for the turn? Are you listening for the direction? Are you just going, just give me the overall look? Okay, it's that somewhere there. Somewhere there is good enough. Today he's got a plan for you on how to get to somewhere. Today. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you reading? Are you reading? Are you reading? The same breath that gave man life at creation continues to sustain him throughout his life. He breathed in us at creation. He's breathing into us each and every day. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever? It goes on to say, And is profitable for doctrine, which means instruct us, for reproof, convicts us, for correction, to change us, for instruction in righteousness, to train us in God's ways, that the man of God may be complete, not missing anything, not missing some parts. I don't get to heaven and go, wow, you're missing a few things. You don't have a leg and a knee and your ear's gone. And what happened to you? Well, I missed a few parts when I assembled this. Have you ever put something together and not read the instructions? Put that furniture together and you go, oh, I know how to do it. Look at the box. Oh, I see the picture. I just look with pictures and get it all done. And then found out that the nice part that was supposed to be covered with the formica, whatever, is the part turned up where it's going to be at view. And the part that is down facing the floor is this nice piece of stuff. And you're going, oh, oh, oh. They just want to paint it. Wife goes, I don't like it. And so you go, and so then you try to take it apart, but not all the way apart. Just kind of push it, because I think I can get it, I think I can get it, I think I can get it. I'm going to pull it, and then you break the side. Oh, man. Why did you want to turn the other way around? What was wrong with it? It wasn't right. A lot of us say, what's wrong with it? I'm close enough. No, it's not right. Instead of trying to reassemble and redo it and fix it, maybe it's good each and every day to go, okay, now put that part there. Oh, it's in bold. Make sure the formica top is up. Oh. All right. Before I put everything together, I got it in the right spot. That's what this is. Each and every day, he's putting you together. He doesn't want you to miss any parts. I don't want to get to heaven and go, well, there's a bucket of stuff here, Lord. I don't know what that goes to. Well, that was supposed to go inside of you, but I want it all in. I don't want to miss anything. Maybe complete, not missing anything. Not having to refix it, take it apart, redo it again. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. It's my daily bread. Just like we need air and bread, we need to eat, we need to breathe each and every day. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit and His Word, His daily bread, every day, nourishing us so that we can grow. Why read it every day? If you don't, you won't grow right. If you don't, you'll miss a turn. If you don't, you'll miss out on something great that God wants to do in your life, and you were just la-la-li-la-la on your path, thinking you knew the way. Every day. Number three, it reveals how God thinks and feels. That's all it says in your notes. In mine, she took this off, about stuff. How God thinks and feels about stuff. Hey, Lord, what do you think about this issue that's going on today? Oh, that's different than what the politicians are saying. That's different than what our government's saying. Well, that... It reveals how God thinks and feels about stuff, what he likes and what he dislikes. In Psalm 119, 9 through 11, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander. Let me not stray from your commandments. It's easy to wander if we're not in his word daily. If you're trying to lose weight, you don't go, well, in January I weighed, 2016, I'm going to weigh again, December 31st. Let me tell you what, you're probably not going to lose much weight. I'm going to weigh in January 1st and December 31st. No, you want to lose weight? Oh, it's the 1st. Oh, it's the 2nd. Oh, that's the wrong way. It's the 3rd. Okay, we stayed the wrong way, but we didn't gain on the wrong way. It's February 17th. Ooh, we're even. You got to keep going every day. You got to weigh in. Hey, what's going on today? What do we need to do? What's my exercise program today? We need it. I'm not going to change unless you're in that which changes you. You by yourself don't change very well. But inspired by the Word of God, amazing. It says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it. That word's hidden in my heart, it means to hide by covering over. Well, how would we cover over the word? Aren't we supposed to share it? No, no. What he's saying is he hides it in his heart so deep that the enemy can't steal it from him. We went up to Spokane on Friday, and we bought this Chromebook, and we had to go do some errands, and was in the car there, and I just have it in the back, and Carrie goes, and she takes a blanket we had in the back there, and she covers the Chromebook. I'm going, what are you doing? I don't want anybody to look in and steal it. I'm going to hide it. So they can't just look and go, oh, there it is, and try to steal it. That's the same thing. I'm going to bury this so deep in my heart, the enemy can, he can no way have hidden it so deep, he can't get at it. He can't pluck at it. He can't chip away at it. He can't pull on it. I've hidden it so deep in my heart. Why? Because I want to do that which brings you pleasure, that which you like, which you like, which you like, which you like. As God looks at the Facebook of your life, not the one you post, but the one you're living. If God looks at the Facebook of your life, not the one you're posting, but the one you're living, would he push the like? Or would he scratch his head going, what? Would it be thumbs up or thumbs down? Are we living for him or living for us? Do you know what he likes? What he doesn't like? This tells us. I want to get put together, complete. I want you to like what I'm doing, Lord. I want you to push the like button, regardless of what everybody else sees. And fourthly, it keeps us from stumbling. Psalm 119, 105. Why do we read it daily? Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I know where I'm going, but if we got that light going, we can see every obstacle and things we need to hurdle over and the rocks and all the junk that might be in the way so we don't stumble over something. I want to know where they are so I can navigate accordingly. It's a dark world out there. We need the light daily. It's a world that tries, because of the enemy's plan, to try to confuse you, to make you think good is bad and bad is good. It's trying to confuse you with its words, with its thoughts, with its logic. Don't turn here. Keep going straight. Don't worry about it. Don't pull your navigation device out. And we get lost, and the whole idea of the Bible is to bring us back. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not right what they're saying. Oh, no, 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 no. I need to turn right here. No, no, no. I need to make this change in my life. I need to do this today. We need to read this, folks, every day. This year, could you make a commitment in your heart right now today? Would you be bold enough to ask the Lord to get you through the scriptures if you've never gotten through them, or if you have, that this year I'm going to go through the New Testament, and we're doing Psalms and Proverbs too. Read a Psalm and Proverb there too. So look at the daily reading schedule to tell you. Getting through the New Testament. I'm going to read it every day. And if I miss a couple of days, hey, I'm not going to be condemned, but I'm just going to get back in it. I'm going to work toward it. If I miss a week, okay, I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get caught up. And by the way, if you're starting reading, don't go back to the start. Start right today, whatever today's reading is, and always do today's, and then go back and make up the stuff behind. And again, it's on your app. You can pull it right there. When you click it, it'll turn green, and it'll be, you know, you're done. Don't go back. Start right now, and then read two chapters every day till you get caught up or something. I'm saying, is God important enough in your life and his directions he wants to give you that you're willing to listen to him? That you're willing to listen to him, to look. I guarantee you this, if you go to your Bible and say, Lord, speak to me today from these pages, and you listen, something's going to come right off that page and burn right into the soul of your heart. It happens. Lord, speak to me today. Speak to me today. Speak to me from this page. As I have that, maybe I'll write it down on a 3x5 card, that verse, because, oh, it's really cool. I'm going to carry it with me or put it on my phone. Walk around with it. Think about it. share it with somebody else. Hey, you know, I was reading the Word today, and you know what I got? It was so cool. He was talking about this, this, and this, and this is what I see, and I'm applying it to my life, and wow, it's so cool. I never saw that before. Share it with somebody else. For a lot of us, we've done this. We've done it, but I'm asking this year, can you do it with a whole new sense of adventure, of challenge, of inspiration? Every day, just, Lord, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What am I going to get out of that? Oh, wow. And so, Lord, you said this over here and that over there. And whoa, whoa, you're stretching my mind. And you're so big and you're so awesome. And you go to ask somebody, hey, I was reading this. I don't understand that. Can you help me with that? Oh, man, there's so many people here who would love to help you with what you're reading. Text me. The Word of God. We'll talk next week some more about this Word because it's so precious and so powerful. This changes lives because what's in it is amazing. It's transforming. It's powerful. Get the app on your phone. Let's not just say we're going to get through the Bible this year, the New Testament. Let's do it. Let's put the Bible in the mix in 21:6. Make sure it's your guide, your map, your compass, your inspiration. Are you following what He wants you to do? Ask God to speak, to breathe on you, and to give you His daily bread so you can live for Him. Father, I thank You for these great people, Lord. So excited to walk and to follow You. And I pray, Lord, that this year we would dig into the Scriptures like we've never dug in before. That we do it every day. And if we miss a day, we wouldn't be condemned. We just read. But looking for it for answers for our life. Looking for it for direction, for encouragement, for so many things. Lord, you've got it in there. Help us, lead us, guide us, inspire us. Each and every day as we go and we meet with You, let it just be awesome, Lord. Someday maybe it's just hot dogs. Other days it might be filet. But Lord, we're going to eat at Your table every day. Thank You, Lord. So help us now with our resolve. Remind us, encourage us, motivate us, and push us, Lord, to be those that get the Word in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you now that you're welcome to come to the altars. If you need a prayer for salvation, come on up here. People will pray for you to be saved. Or if you need prayer for anything else, an ailment or sickness, come on up here. We'll pray for you. But then I want to release you out here to all of these tables. Just walk around. I don't know if there's going to be a map up here that kind of tells you where what's what. But get involved in a small group. The encouragement... You need a Bible study? There's a ton of Bible studies out there. Get involved in a Bible study. You get through the Word, get into a Bible study. Get into something where you can be with other people who will help you enjoy living life together as we allow God to transform us from the inside out. Next week, we're going to talk more about the power of this. It's amazing. God bless you guys. Go and have an amazing week with Jesus Christ. He loves you. So do I. God bless.